Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Continuing. With chapter 17 of Canto 1. We'll continue with text 38. We started, didn't finish. And text 39. The story line is very simple. You've heard it so many times. The subject matter is critical. It's critical for how to establish Krishna consciousness in the modern degraded situation of the age of Kali. That's what Prabhupada is disclosing in his purports. Because it's at the beginning of the age of Kali when this event is taking place, where the influence of Kali has not spread. In fact, the personality of Kali acknowledges, in your kingdom, there is no irreligiousness. You say, I can stay where there's intoxication, gambling, meat eating, and prostitution, but that doesn't take place in your kingdom. You haven't given me any place to stay. It doesn't happen in your kingdom. There's no irreligion in your kingdom. So where can I stay? Now, our present situation is reverse. That's abundant everywhere, and how are we going to establish Krishna consciousness in this atmosphere of the age of Kali? It's explained in the purports. If we read them carefully, I'll try to hold it up and put neon signs around it. Look at this. Here's where Prabhupada is saying how to do it. Pay attention. This is a reading directly from the purport of text 33, which we covered this morning. But Prabhupada writes, there are different countries in different parts of the world. And each and every country may have different types of sacrifice to please the Supreme Lord. Yeah, that's fine. This is a worldwide picture now. But the central point in pleasing the Supreme Lord is ascertained in the Bhagavatam, and it is truthfulness. So, Prabhupada has been describing, we discussed this morning, different religions, okay. What's the essence of religious principles within those religions? That's what the Bhagavatam is addressing. Not this isn't, that isn't, but what's the principle? And it's almost, not exactly, but almost that Prabhupada is saying the other three principles, these austerity, cleanliness and mercy, they're supported by truthfulness. Here he's saying it. The essence of the religious, these four principles that have been repeated, the essence of them is truthfulness. And of course you expand that truthfulness and you get the absolute truth. You get Krishna. So being truthful to our relation with the absolute truth, being situated in truthfulness, in our relationship with the Absolute Truth. That's the essence of, in different countries, there are different practices, different ways of expressing. So the formulas and dogmas are not the essence. The essence is this truthfulness. And then Prabhupada says, And the ultimate goal of all religions is to satisfy the Lord. Try it sometimes. I've tried it sometimes. You meet people from different religions and they say, oh, I've already got my religion. If you're doing book distribution, oh, I already have my religion. Then you could try a little experiment and say, let me ask you, is my religion and your religion the same or different? What's different? You have your religion, I have my religion. Okay, let me ask you this. Would you agree that the essence of your religion is, here Prabhupada is saying, to satisfy the Lord, or to develop love for God? Is that the essence of your religion? Well, of course that's the essence of religion. Okay. Well, that's the essence of our religion. So the form of it may be different, but the essence is... Now, we could say, do you believe that that in your religion it's important to be truthful? Of course it's important to be truthful. Thou shalt not lie. Christian religion. I don't know what the language is in Islam religion, but truthfulness. So I'm going back again to this message that I shared somewhere while I was here. This seminar on self-honesty. How can we be truthful to others or honest with others if we're not truthful with ourselves and honest with ourselves? And if we don't even know who we are, how can we be truthful to ourselves? We have a material conception of who we are. It's so basic, people just want to go on to the next thing. Okay, what's next? But Prabhupada, when he was having discussions with people, he wouldn't let them go on to the next. So they were fully clear on the first. How can you build a house without a foundation for the house? Unless it's a very flimsy kind of house, it can blow over in the wind. What's the foundation? A spiritual conception of self, and being true to that self. On a spiritual platform. So how to get there? To that position of truthfulness and the position of satisfying the Supreme Lord. The act of sacrifice, according to Bhagavad Gita, by sacrifice. It brings that which is ordinary or worldly into the higher realm, ultimately the transcendental realm. And the sacrifice for the sage is chanting of the holy name. And it's not just our religion. Ask people, in your religion, is it important to sing and praise God's name? Oh, yes. Well, that's what our religion is. Our religion isn't that one. It's singing and praising the holy name. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu propagated this chanting of the holy name as the sacrifice to restore this position of truthfulness and staying in harmony with Prabhupada's language, satisfying the Supreme Lord. Bringing us again in resonance with that very strong desire to satisfy the Supreme Lord, instead of, when that's not there, what is it that we're looking to satisfy? When we say no to Krishna, we're going to say yes to something else. And the something else is Maya. And our program is to turn it around the other way. Say no to Maya and say yes to Krishna. So here, Parikshit Maharaj is saying no to the personality of Kali. Get out. But where can I stay? Because you're the king of the whole world, and anywhere I go to do my irreligious thing, you're going to be there, checking me. So text 38. Maharaj Prikshit, thus being petitioned by the personality of Kali, gave him permission to reside in places where gambling, drinking, prostitution, and animal slaughter were performed. Question was raised this morning, where's the animal slaughter or meat eating principle? It's mentioned in the verse. Gambling, drinking, prostitution, and animal slaughter. In the purport, Prabhupada has two long sections on Jiva Goswami's commentary on this verse, and he speaks specifically about a Vedic process where there's some mention of drinking. And how does drinking fit into something Vedic process? It's one of those karmakanda things where there's a sacrifice where somebody who's too much prone to something that's unwholesome, bad, literally irreligious, to gradually elevate that by regulation, by Vedic sacrifice, very much like the process of animal sacrifice. It's sinful, but to regulate it and to elevate the person to a higher position, it's identified. So Jiva Goswami mentions this. So Tramani Yajna, where a sacrifice whereby these undesirable, in fact, irreligious activities can be regulated and uplifted in a systematic way. But they're not meant for the devotees. The Bhagavatam is meant to bring the reader to the position of devotion. In the position of devotion, Prabhupada explains it right in the very first verses of the Bhagavatam. We're on the path of Nivritti Marg. We're Nivrittas. It's decreasing one's material involvement. So these other sacrifices are not followed by us. We're not even interested in them. We don't regulate sinful activity. We don't engage in sinful activity. Just, boom, we don't engage in those activities. It's recommended for those in the mode of ignorance that cannot do without those activities, and therefore it's regulated to be gradually elevated. But in fact, they're adharma. The very statement that Prabhupada is making here, or Jiva Goswami makes, is involved in the discussion with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Chand Kazi. Yes? Chand Kazi, the Kazi of Navadvip, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had a little discussion on the evening of that civil disobedience march of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with tens of thousands of angry Bengalis with firebrands in their hand, ready to burn the house of the Kazi and kill him. Kill the Kazi! Kill the Kazi! Kill the Kazi! They were angry. But on Mahaprabhu's insistence, they became pacified. And in this discussion with Chankazi, there was this discussion about, Mahaprabhu said to Chankazi, "My dear Kazi, you're a very learned man. You're known to be a very religious and learned man. Can you tell me why it is in your religion it approves killing your mother?" "What do you mean, killing your mother? What do you mean?" "It approves killing the cow. And the cow is your mother. So it approves killing your mother. Why in your religion does it approve killing mother?" Chankazi's reply, "Well, there's provision for the same in your scripture." And Mahaprabhu said, "Not killing the cow. There's a Gomedi Yagya and Ashwamedi Yagya, but they're not killed. They enter into the fire and come out renewed and young, not killed. And in your scriptures, there's this Navriti, Pravriti in the beginning part that regulates the killing of animals. But in the conclusion of the Quran is Nivriti. It's actually better to not do all of that." And the Qazi said, "You're right. In our scriptures, there are many discrepancies. The scholars that wrote them, they made many mistakes. But what can I do? It's my religion, so I have to follow the scripture." What he said. He was honest. The Bhagavatam doesn't say you have to follow it, follow the provisions. It says do without them. Dharma projita kaitavotra, paramo nirmat saranam satam. So we're getting this instruction from the Srimad Bhagavatam how to come to paradharma in this God-forsaken age of Kali. Here now Prabhupada is going to explain how to apply religious principles in this age such that the degradation of the influence of this age of Kali is minimized in our lives and the people who we're associated with and trying to assist in Krishna consciousness. Listen carefully. Purport from text 39. Following in the footsteps of Maharaj Pariksit, it is the duty of all executive heads of state to see that the principles of religion, namely austerity, cleanliness, mercy, and truthfulness, you're emphasizing truthfulness, so we should think of truthfulness in the capital T sense of truthfulness, not in the lower sense. Like the lower sense is, "Your Honor, I have to tell the truth. I didn't like the guy, so I killed him." Not that kind of truthfulness. Or, "Yeah, of course I yelled at the guy because I was angry. I was just being truthful to my emotions." I got to be truthful. I mean, read it in the Bhagavatam. I got to be truthful. "I hate your guts. I don't like you. Get out of here." I was just being truthful. Not that kind of truthfulness. Truthfulness with a capital T. Truthfulness in a spiritual sense of recognizing. When you do it in the capital T sense, you get the lower case of truthfulness also. Because then you become truthful to the interest of the soul, not just, you know, the pushings of passion and ignorance. Anyway. When the principles of religion, so what should guide those that are making laws or making decisions about those who they're taking charge of or taking care of? Not just, you know, the big presidents and governors and whatever their titles are, heads of state, but people that are giving leadership to the lives of others. Certainly those people, but all forms of leadership. Moved by the principles of religion. These four specifically are being repeated. And then the opposite. that the principles of irreligion, namely pride, illicit female association or prostitution, intoxication and falsity, are checked by all means. And, to make the best use of a bad bargain, the personality Kali may be transferred to places of gambling, drinking, prostitution, and slaughterhouses, if there are any places like that. Separate the Sura and the Asura. That's in the previous verse also, where Maharaj Pichit says, in a place where experts perform sacrifices according to truth and religious principles for the satisfaction of the personality of Godhead, you cannot remain here. The same 33 purport. Brahmavarta, Brahmavarta is a place where sattvatas live. They do their prescribed duty. They live by religious principles. They offer things exclusively to the personality Godhead. That's their way of life. They're protected by those that are not like that are to go elsewhere minimally if they're to live. Now Prabhupada said that what one of the effects of preaching Krishna consciousness broadly in the public is that it will make this division. The divine will resonate, and the demoniac will separate themselves. They won't have anything to do with this. These people are crazy, or whatever they think. They're fanatical, or something. They're brainwashed, or something. Some kind of negative something. So it separates. Prabhupada said, that's a sign the Hare Krishna movement is advancing. There's opposition. If we were doing nothing, there'd be no opposition. If we're doing something substantial, then there's opposition. That's good. It's a good sign. It's not that we should do things carelessly and people criticize us for being careless, or do things with impurity and people consider us to be impure, criticize the impurity. We should be pure. Prabhupada writes in the Bhagavatam, we should act above criticism, knowing full well still people will criticize. But at least for a reasonable person, there should be above criticism, should be impeccable. That's the standard that we should establish and maintain. That's what the Hare Krishna movement should be known for. Those people that are fanatically pure. Not fanatically pure, but you know, very pure. That's the standard. So how to accomplish that? Well, here's Prabhupada. If I was elected to be the Prime Minister of this country, once Prabhupada was asked, Swamiji, your movement is growing so fast. One day maybe they'll elect you as President of the United States. And Prabhupada just laughed. Said, we don't want to be the president. We could advise the president. We can do the brahminical function. Someone else can be president. We don't want to be. And it's not our ambition. But the president is qualified. That's a brahminical concern. So if there was a qualified king, here's like a roadmap, a blueprint. What are some of the things that they should do? And it's the Maharaj Pariksit things. first, 2 compulsory days of fasting a month. How do you vote? If not more. And he writes, even from an economic point of view, 2 fasting days in a month in a state will save tons of food. I just read something. Shesha Prabhu, one of our GBC members, was speaking in Mayapur and was explaining the arrangement that Prabhupada had made to have the devotees come to Mayapur for the GBC meeting and festival. And one of the devotees said, Prabhupada, it's so expensive to come to India from all the parts of the world. If we have 500 devotees and it costs $1,000 for each of the 500 devotees to come, we could have enough money to build a temple. And because then at the time, building a temple would have cost $500,000. And Prabhupada said, if all of you fasted, just don't eat, and then we could easily build so many temples. Now, he wasn't saying don't eat so we can build temples. But actually what he was saying is, as food is essential, but you don't stop eating because you have to eat, so coming together to associate as Vaishnavas, you have to do. You can't do without it so we can build the temple. But you can fast 2 days of the month. And economically, it saves money. And from the Ayurvedic point of view, he doesn't write it here, but it's also recommended as a natural way of cleansing the body, because toxins, undigested food is what toxins are, builds up. So then one day you don't eat. So the body needs nourishment. So it goes after those undigested foods and it'll eliminate. It's a natural arrangement for detoxification of the body. It's very healthy. Besides, it's nice. Once you get used to it, it's happiness in the mode of goodness. It's nice. Okay, what else is on the agenda for if Prabhupada could establish one of his generals in his Sankirtan army to be the head of state? Compulsory marriage, boys and girls, attaining, here he says, 24 years of age and 16 years of age respectively. You're laughing. Can I ask you why you're laughing? Hare Krishna. 3. Here's another one. Give 50% of all your income to the Brahmanas and the Vaishnavas for spreading of Krishna consciousness. Hari Bol. Of course, you guys don't have to worry about that yet. They should preach the principles of Bhagavatam by A, karma yoga, or doing everything for the satisfaction of the Lord. B, regularly hearing Srimad Bhagavatam from authorized persons or realized souls. C, chanting the glories of the Lord congregationally at home or at a place of worship. D, rendering all kinds of services to Bhagavatas, engaged in preaching Srimad Bhagavatam, and residing in a place where the atmosphere is saturated with God consciousness. If the state is regulated by the above process, naturally there will be God consciousness everywhere. Now, some of these are, again, subreddit principles, and Some of them are religious principles, are, I think, transcendental principles. That's the injunction. Then there's the prohibitions, gambling, of all descriptions. Stop. Slaughterhouses, stop. Flesh eaters, stop. Intoxication, stop. Tobacco, drinking of tea. Oh, in India, stop. There's some people that they can easily follow everything in Krishna consciousness except that one thing. They're drinking tea. Maybe that's not a problem around here, but it's a problem in some places. They just can't give up drinking tea. Till they decide to give up drinking tea, and then they can give up drinking tea. So, when Prabhupada writes these things, it's not casual. It's not, you know, it's meant for some people and not for all people. It's a standard of having a God-conscious society. At least, in this matter of, Prabhupada writes, the mingling of boys and girls, it's a great debilitating factor that destroys the fabric of society when that's permitted. And in modern society, it's the standard. And it destroys the fabric of the social fabric. So what does the personality of Kali say about all of this? My dear king, this doesn't go on in your kingdom. You haven't given me a place to live. So, please give me your permission for something more. And what's the something more? I mean, you all know. Where there is gold being hoarded, you can stay there. Because wherever there's the hoarding of gold, you'll find these things. Even in the kingdom of Maharaj Pariksit, what to speak of the present leaders of today. Prabhupada speaks about the gold standard. Even a gold standard exchange and currency is bad. Gold standard currency is based on falsehood because currency is not on par with the reserve gold. Somebody produced a very interesting little, I don't know what you call it, animated graphics rendering of what is money. Oh, I have a copy. And it's explaining the whole thing with the whole thing with money is it's just modern sense of money is just ridiculous. It's worse than ridiculous. It's very dangerous. And the collapse of the economy is because of it. That they make money from nothing. They make money on it just something like 15, depends on from country to country, but how much notes banks have on stock. I mean, like actual paper currency printed by the government, which also doesn't have gold to back it. But they don't mind. The government can print as much paper money as they want. They can extend loans up to 15 times what they have in the bank just on the promise to pay back some of those pieces of paper that are worth nothing. Oh, it's in one discussion, when Prabhupada, one of Prabhupada's secretaries was discussing, whispered to Prabhupada, why did Kali Yuga advance so rapidly? And Prabhupada pointed to going off the gold standard. He said, because it was on that basis that industrialization was made possible. Prior to that, it was just agrarian. Economy was agrarian based. And whatever you could grow, grains and vegetables and milk products, that was wealth. And you could exchange some grains for some service. Someone can build your house or whatever other services are required. But it was something of, you know, what they call today commodities. Something that really has value. But as soon as... Anyway, Prabhupada went through this whole thing explaining to the devotee that when the system of barter and exchange went from commodities to gold and then off the gold standard, then you could just print as much paper and then make rules, you know, banking rules that says based upon the promised repay some paper, you can make 15 times the number of loans to people. Anyway, it's very... So then industrialization was made possible. And then with industrialization, industry replaced, you know, like tractors replaced bull. Cars replaced horses, and so on and so on. So the respect for the animals and the symbiotic relationship with those animals was no longer needed. And so many things. So many things. It's progressively led further and further and further to degradation. This monetary thing. From having some devotees that have their MBA prepare a PowerPoint presentation for my speaking in colleges in the fall, Yoga of Money. Oh, Yoga of Money. And explain some of these principles in ways that people can understand. That we need to get, where it's going to lead to is we need to get back to agrarian-based society, which people aren't prepared to do. But it is provided the collapse of society and people being without jobs that they still have to eat. You're out of a job and you still have to eat. What's going to happen? They have to grow their own food. But they don't know how to grow their own food because all they have is agribusiness. They grow the food for you and you just work like a mudha in some office and go and buy your food. But if you don't have money to buy your food, you starve. That's a problem. Starving is a problem. So we need a solution to the problem. It's a very challenging topic. And Prabhupada's writing about it, right in the purport. Gold standard currency is based on falsity because the currency is not on par with the gold reserve. The basic principle is falsity because currency notes are issued in value beyond that of the actual reserve gold. This artificial inflation of currency by the authorities encourages prostitution of the state economy. The price of commodities becomes artificially inflated because of bad money or artificial currency notes. Bad money drives away good money. Instead of paper currency, actual gold coins should be used for exchange, and that will stop prostitution of gold. Gold ornaments for women may be allowed by control, not by quality, but by quantity. This will discourage lust, envy, and enmity, where there's actual gold currency in the form of coins. The influence of gold in producing falsity, prostitution, etc. will automatically cease. There's no need for an anti-corruption ministry, for another term of prostitution and false and falsity of purpose and of purport. There are communities of devotees that are trying to live by this principle, where the currency is not gold coins, the currency is what they produce from the land. One of our presentations at our GBC meeting was just such a community in Hungary. They call it ECHO, E-C-O, as in ecology, ECHO Valley. I have a little DVD and I brought a copy and circulated around. They're serious about it. They're just talking about it in a class somewhere, you know, a university class. They're living it. Very interesting. Very, very interesting. They started with the program of ownership of land, as in ownership turns sawdust into gold. Prabhupada made that statement. So they tried ownership. And after some time, they did away with ownership. It became spiritual communism, meaning everything is owned by all the devotees. It's owned by the deities. And in order to live in that community, you have to agree to provide X percentage of whatever you grow to the community. You have to put in a certain number of hours per week to be part of that community. If you're not prepared, you can't live there. If you agree but then don't perform, you're removed. There's a covenant. They have many, you know, it's, and their store, the exchange of their store is based upon what you grow. That's a very interesting set of rules of sharing based upon Krishna as the proprietor. It's an experiment, but it's working because the devotees are very, very dedicated to it and they have very, very qualified leadership. And it's not a long growing season in Hungary, like, you know, like a climate like here. The growing season is practically year-round. They don't have that. They have winters. It's severe. But it's so popular. What they're doing is so, they're living such a vital principle that tourism, there are people coming in busloads to see how they're doing. They don't have electricity. No electricity. They have linseed lamps. Anyway, you can take a look at what they're doing. I'll provide you with the information. So it's doable for people, for those who are very sincere to follow these instructions. It's doable. There's another way that it's doable, and that is by living in an environment as we have here and taking up the practice of making our lives in principles or in harmony with the principles of religion and preaching Krishna consciousness as you all are doing with your Harinam and Prasadam distribution and things. And encouraging people to hear the message of Krishna, receive this transcendental knowledge in the form of literature. Okay. I'll end there, see if we have any questions.
Yes. And even political leadership, you know, under this of a very high standard of purity, it's very difficult to see such a thing actually happening.
It's happening. It's happening. I'm sure it's not absent differences. I'm sure there's differences. But the leadership is very pure and very qualified, and what they have going for them is something very wonderful. So they don't have a problem with finding people who want to live that way. They turn people down. They're very selective. Although it's austere. It's very attractive. For principle-centered people, it's very attractive. But right away, that reduces a lot of the, you know, headache. People are there because they're committed to the principles that are held by that community. Yes. What are you asking?
What are the principles of what?
How does Kali manifest?
How does Kali manifest? How does he manifest? By his influence. He takes people's minds and spins them around. Like advertising is one. That's Kali. My dear sir, let me grab a hold of your mind and spin it around. What happened? Next thing you know, in order to be happy, I have to have one of those. It's falsity. It's the influence of personality of Kali. And media, television, cinema, radio, internet, it's a haven. Just go along the road and see all the billboards. Buy this, enjoy that, get one of those. Has nothing to do with what's in the interest of the soul, the soul's real purpose of life. Education. You take your pick of things, and through those things, Kali is making his influence. Degrading character. Placing a whole other value system in the minds of people of today. And because their minds are filled with all that junk, when they get together, that's what they discuss. I was thinking this morning when they were all filling up their water. I don't speak Telugu, but I'm glad I don't. Because I can only imagine what their conversation is about. It's not, you know, what verse did you read in Bhagavad Gita this morning? And that's the manifestation of Kali. It is. Kali acts by association, by influence, through association. So one who's, same way the spiritual consciousness works. Like the way Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spread Krishna consciousness through South India, it's described in Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's the reverse. By his association, persons became immediately, by seeing him and hearing him chant the holy name and dance in ecstasy of love of God, their hearts became flooded with love of God. And they in turn went to another village, surcharged with spiritual love of God. And their contact with the person, and then the persons in that next village did the same effect. And then those persons went to another village, and it's this way. Love of God spread all throughout South India, Krishnadas Kaviraj describes. And the influence of Kali works the same way. The personification of irreligion acts upon people, and then acts upon people. And some people are leaders, and they just do it in a big way. Somebody's doing it in the privacy of their home, and some people do it, you know, through the media. They get a million people at one time falling into degraded consciousness. Through association. So therefore we have to select our association very carefully. We have to have control of our senses, what we allow our eyes to make contact with and our ears to make contact with, and so on. We very much require the association of devotees who are striving towards purity. That's the antidote. If we don't have that, it works the other way, by association. Sangat sanjayate kama. In the language of Bhagavad Gita. Okay. Yes.
How does the truthfulness is the essence of the religion principle? How truthfulness supports the other three principles of religion?
How does truthfulness support the other three principles of religion? Well, minus truthfulness, you don't have them. You know, what's austerity? What is mercy? What is cleanliness? You ask that of an untruthful person. What is austerity? What is cleanliness? What is mercy? You get something else besides what they are. So it supports them. And as I described, real truthfulness was with a capital T. It's understanding the absolute truth, or starting in a simpler level, understanding our real identity is spirit soul, not this body. Of course, you can say that's knowledge, but it's truthfulness. And let me live my life according to that fact which I accept. That's truthfulness. It's self-realization. One who's on the path of self-realization can readily accept austerities, acts of mercy. Live one's life in a clean manner. You don't like to live in an unclean manner. But it gives spiritual strength to those other things that even the non-devotee, you know, they're doing austerities. Whatever their idea of cleanliness, they're cleaning something, whatever their idea of cleanliness is, it just puts a spiritual perspective on all those principles, all principles of life. Yeah.
What is the meaning of saying that Roka says?
What's the meaning of?
The truthfulness is still surviving in the age of Kali, we say. The truthfulness principle is still the leg, the only leg surviving of the four pillars. Is truthfulness,
yeah.
We say. So that is not the absolute truth.
Well, it's both. Just like, you know, here's the scripture. So society may be going to the dogs, but there's scripture. There's the standard of truthfulness. So in the spiritual sense, but also even in the material sense, people have some sense of value in truthfulness. a modern example. When former President Bill Clinton did his abominable activity, he was criticized more for lying about it than for doing it. First he said he didn't do it, and everybody knew he did it. Then he said, oh, okay, I did it. Etc., etc. So many examples, modern, contemporary examples, but just the principle of being truthful. If you make a mistake, you admit the mistake. Better to not make mistakes. But if you make a mistake, you admit the mistake and you can be forgiven. But you don't admit the mistake. People know you're lying. It erodes faith. So many examples of that. Okay. I brought some Mahaprasadam with me and I'm going to distribute it. I've been forgetting to do that, but remember this time. Hari Bol. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Jai.